Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
All right, it is the Zach Gilb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports, CBS Sports Radio. You know, Hickey, sometimes when your friends go through something tough, I think it's always important to try to uplift them. And the way that I did that today was with food. And I said to you last night that if I was a Jet fan and you have the Rodgers Achilles injury and yet all this hype and all this excitement and right as the season gets underway, poof, it all goes out the window. And now you know, yeah, you could talk yourself up into the Jets being a playoff team. And there's a valid case to make for that, a legit case to make for that because they have a great defense. You have Garrett Wilson. You got the two running backs and Breece Hall and also Dalvin Cook. But down deep, you know the ultimate prize and the ultimate goal that you were chasing is now thrown right out the window. So today I was going to Dunkin' Donuts, and this wasn't even on my mind originally. I was just going to get a black cold brew before I make my way to the station. And right in front of me, staring right at me, are 6 donuts that were left. And they were New York Jets donuts. Now down the hall, I know one of my good friends, the great Evan Roberts from Evan and Tiki on WFAN in New York, is a massive Jets fan. And I was even saying to Evan before the start of the season, like, I'm actually excited for you because you finally have a team that going into a year, you have a lot of optimism for. And I know the Jets, right, they made those 2 championship games with Rex Ryan, but no one going into the season thought those teams were really that great. So I've been talking to Evan about football for years, right? Even before, I've been a talk show host here. And I was saying it's like pretty cool that now you get a football team that you could really talk yourself into believing heading into this season. So when I saw those 6 donuts that were remaining in the store at like 4 p.m. in the afternoon, I said I had to grab those donuts. So I grabbed those donuts. I made the trek into our CBS Sports Radio studios. And you know what? I didn't want to just hand him the donuts. So I just left them right in the studio. And I wrote a note. Sorry, Evan. My condolences. And you try to like figure out who the heck got you the donuts. So Evan Roberts ended up texting me because he found out that I got him the donuts. Because I wasn't that slick when he was kind of walking out of the studio. Someone saw me to put the donuts in there. And he sent me a very nice thank you text. And I'm just telling you, if there's ever a bad incident in sports, I'm not saying food makes it go away, but food for a little bit lets you exhale and it allows you to alleviate the pain just a little bit. So I was very proud of myself today, Hickey, if I'm being honest. Because I know sometimes like you laugh at me with like comfort food when it comes to sports after bad losses. You go, no, I just sit on my couch and I don't move. Yeah, you see how a donut just uplifts people around here at our CBS Sports Radio studios and also WFAN studios.
I will remain steadfast in this take. I don't think food helps. Food does not help ease the pain.
It's tough for me to actually take you seriously when you said you'll remain steadfast on this take. When in the last segment, you said before the year, the Broncos will win 12 games. We just did win-loss after 1 game, and you have them down to 7. And then you go, through win-loss, you go, oh, no, they'll still win 11 or 12 games.
I was caught in the moment. That's my bad. I was too negative. I was, again, picturing Sean Payton walking back home. No car, no bus allowed. They're going 11-6. Let's just set the record straight, and they're going to the playoffs. Not jumping off the bandwagon after 1 week.
Can we drug test you?
Sure.
11-6? They just lost to the Raiders. Listen, and you think they're going 11-6.
You see some bad week one losses.
What are you sniffing?
Week one is a classic overreaction. Week two, you'll see a little course correction.
But for actual good teams, like the Chiefs lose week one, let's not freak out. Even if they lose to the Jaguars this week, let's not freak out. The Broncos aren't a good team. That's what you don't get. They have a lot team. Of warts.
Got a great head coach, good quarterback who's not washed up in Russell Wilson.
Based off what?
Get a good physical. I don't think he's washed up. Played bad last year.
Okay, so
you think physically he's done?
You have a. I think he could only be a good quarterback again. I don't think he could be a great quarterback. I think they have a potential to have a great defense. Their secondary is absolutely loaded, but that offensive line has problems. The wide receivers are subpar. It's not a good wide receiving core. And I like Javonte Williams, but he's coming off a big injury.
Look good on Sunday.
Like Javonte Williams, but if Javonte Williams, maybe your best offensive piece, that's a problem. I'm not a big believer in Jerry Jeudy.
Okay. So I mean, receivers were decimated, without a doubt. But you know what? Again, Sean Payton's a guy who's won a lot of games and a lot less pieces. Part of the belief.
I love how you're now digging your heels back in after we kind of exposed you.
But no, there's no exposing. It's a bad loss. It's a bad loss. Don't get me wrong. And again, did I overreact in the moment? Absolutely, I did. Now I'm calm. I had 5 minutes to relax, get my thoughts together. Not freaking out. So this is embarrassing.
So can I try this exercise again to see how much it changed from 10 minutes ago to now?
Sure. Now that I'm clear in the head.
Yeah, I don't know if you're ever clear in the head. But 10 minutes ago, you said they were going to win seven wins. So let's just try this again. Let's see how you kind of wiggle your way around this one now. Commanders this week.
Win. Lock it up.
At Miami.
Loss. Miami's good.
At Chicago.
Win. Bears stink. O-line stinks. Yeah. Better get some pressure. Let me tell you, if Justin Fields sitting back there untouched.
Just do me a favor. Just give me the win-loss. Just say win-loss.
I'm going to have to suit up at the end.
Yeah, you would get killed. Jets.
Win.
At Kansas City, Thursday night. Green Bay.
Where's that game?
That game's in Denver.
Oh, my bad. I thought it was in Green Bay. Win.
I tell you where the game's at every time.
Win.
Kansas City.
Loss.
Bye week. You can't lose that one. Some teams can. At Buffalo.
Loss.
Minnesota.
Win.
Cleveland.
Win.
Oh, now you change that.
No, I said home team won. You said, Denver's at home. Win. I stuck by that pick.
At the Texans.
Win.
At the Chargers.
I'll say they split. I think I said I'll flip it. Home team wins. I'll say the Chargers win that game, but I'm not changing the overall prediction.
So a loss is what you're saying.
Yes, Chargers win, Broncos lose.
Just go win-loss here. Let's not make this crazy. At Detroit.
Loss.
New England.
Win.
Chargers.
Win.
Raiders.
Win.
So you got the 10 wins there that time.
All right, so there we go. I said 12-5. Right now, the second go around 10-7. That means they're going to land right at 11-6, just like I said. March in the playoffs.
We just did this twice. You didn't even get to 11.
There's always one game that, they lost. They lost a surprise game they shouldn't have lost. They're going to win maybe at Kansas City. Or home against Kansas City.
You got to work on your finger counting. That's what you got to work on here. You got to be
because
in your head
then you're
going
to accuse me of massaging games to get to the win total. I'm telling you, they're going to go into Kansas City and win. I don't believe that. So I'm not going to lie to you.
I already knew that you were going to do that because you just gave me your true thoughts about 15 minutes ago. So whatever you're saying after now, 15 minutes later, is a bunch of baloney. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's get to a little overreaction or proper reaction.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team.
Help! Help! Help!
Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end. That's how I know football season's back. One of the all-time great sound bites from someone that's not an all-time great announcer. That's the ironic part. But anyway. Give me the overreaction.
Booger had a
reaction.
Good moment there for sure. Let's go to last night's game, the big one. Obviously, unfortunately, Aaron Rodgers out for the season for the Jets after just four plays in a jet green, I guess technically last night, jet white uniform. Jets did win, though. They did beat the Bills and now sitting tied in first place in the AFC East. So overreaction or proper reaction, The Jets, without Aaron Rodgers this year, are still a playoff team.
The Jets are a good team. The Jets were a lock to make the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers. You could talk me into saying the Jets are a playoff team, but right now, even though they have a great run game and they have a great defense, that line stinks. And now it's a major question mark on if the quarterback could even be a game manager. They have a shot. I think they'll be competitive. But right now I would say it's an overreaction if you're telling me adamantly that the Jets are a playoff team.
We just talked about it, the most embarrassing moment of week one.
Great moment.
Josh McDaniels going into Sean Payton's house.
Embarrassing for you. I thought it was a great moment.
And winning. So now the question must be begged as the Raiders are 1-0 and the Broncos 0-1. Overreaction or proper action, Zach? The Raiders will finish with a better record this season than the Denver Broncos.
Is this assuming that Jimmy G is healthy this year?
That is up in the air, right? As it always is.
You know what? As Lee Corso would say, I'll bleep it. Proper reaction. Yeah. Broncos going to finish in last place. Raiders finishing in third. Raiders will finish with a better record than the Denver Broncos. Thank you.
Speaking of embarrassing, Sunday night, the Giants offense was pitiful. 7 sacks of the Cowboys defense, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, forced fumble. They were dominant. Overreaction or proper reaction? The Cowboys are the best defense this season in the NFL.
Ooh. That's a good question.
Niners look good on Sunday.
Yeah, they'll have one of the best defensive units in the NFL. If you're telling me, though, it's the Cowboys or the field, the Cowboys are definitely in the top 3, but I'll take the field on this one. And you just mentioned one of those teams, the San Francisco 49ers. So I will say that's an overreaction.
Let's go to the rookie quarterbacks who all had their debut in the first round, or the first round picks had their debuts, I should say, on Sunday. Bryce Young for the Panthers, CJ Stroud for the Texans, Anthony Richardson for the Colts. All 3 teams lost. No one stood out and led their team to a win. But Bryce Young did have 2 interceptions. Anthony Richardson had 1. CJ Stroud, no touchdowns, no picks, but also 9 points for Houston. Overreaction or proper reaction, Zach? Anthony Richardson had the best debut of the first round rookie quarterbacks.
Well, this is a low bar to clear. Yeah. That's a proper reaction. And he'll probably end up having the best rookie season out of those 3 quarterbacks that are starting. The Panthers line sucks. And they don't have any weapons for Bryce Young to throw the football to. He's going to be running for his life. But Calais Campbell after the game did tell me that he sees a lot of potential and he thinks that Bryce Young's going to be a really good quarterback. And I do believe that was genuine. And CJ Stroud's a fine quarterback, a good quarterback, but they need more talent on that Texans team. They're just going to put the ball in Richardson's hands so many times. And they have an offensive line that I still wonder how good they are because of the catastrophe from last year. But you would think that line is going to be improved. But as long as Richardson can stay healthy, he's their offense. And how about Jonathan Taylor? We didn't bring this up. Right before football Sunday, Adam Schefter, you saw that report?
Oh,
that
of course.
He could probably be good to go and cleared. So much for that being a legit injury. I told you that was garbage. You think he'll be back week 5?
Oh, yeah. He has no choice. The longer he sits out, the more it hurts him.
He could drag his feet, cry, and want to request a trade once again.
Sure, he can try that. Just taking money out of his own pocket. Might as well flush it down the drain.
But really, you got no weapons in Indianapolis. And Anthony Richardson's going to be doing everything this year. Now, you get Jonathan Taylor back, you would hope they take the ball out of Anthony Richardson's hands a little bit, but I don't know how much of a motivated Jonathan Taylor you're going to get. So, yeah, no, that's a proper reaction with Anthony Richardson. I like how you sharply just squeezed in a Colts question there.
Well, it's fair. I mean, I don't think it's being a homer. I think it's just asking a question. You don't have to answer the question, you know, the way I want you to answer it. Just, hey, rookie quarterbacks, always a big storyline. 3 guys, first 4 picks, making their debut.
Mm-hmm.
Always love instant reaction from their first game, so why not? Let's stick with that game, right? Colts-Jaguars.
Yeah.
You had Anthony Richardson making his debut, and you had the return of Calvin Ridley, who, boy, he's probably missing a year and a half, looked really good, especially in the first half.
Which I did bet on him anytime touchdown. I thought that was a lock of the weekend.
And it was,
he
I think,
can't
the
bet, but
third
I can bet.
Drive, second or third drive, wasted no time. Cash that puppy right away.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. He can't, you can finish a game, 8 catches, 101 yards, and a touchdown in, again, his first game in a year and a half. onside or onsides, overreaction or proper action, Zach, Calvin Ridley will be a Pro Bowl wide receiver this year.
In the words of Sexy Red, ski. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a proper reaction. Calvin Ridley's the number one wide receiver in the NFL. And I still think there's rust to knock off. And the guy still goes over 100 yards in his return and finds the end zone. He's going to be awesome. And Travis Etienne told me after the game, he was a playmaker. He was the X factor. And he just makes everyone around him better. And that's what you're going to continue to see from Calvin throughout the whole season.
Strong words. Strong words from his teammate and a nice debut without a doubt. Okay. Cardinals, some people think they're tanking. Look, not a lot of talent whatsoever. John and Gannon questions about his head coaching ability. Now, they lost to the Commanders, but it was a hard-fought game.
It's a good loss.
Good loss. They 17-16, they gave Sam Howell and Washington all they could handle. Almost gave maybe arguably the most embarrassing loss of the of week one to Washington. But again, Sam Howell did pull through. Let me ask you this. Overreaction or proper reaction? Cardinals won't finish with the number one overall pick.
Oh, that's an overreaction. They will finish with the number one overall pick. But it just once again shows you that players don't tank, coaches don't tank. It's ownership and general managers. The players are going to play their asses off, but that team's just not talented whatsoever. And maybe you get Kyler Murray back like week six, week seven, week eight at the earliest, but still, what talent do you have around him? That's a problem.
Two impressive performances from the NFC North in week number one. Lions, right? Thursday night, starting the weekend, going into Kansas City and dethroning the reigning world champs. And on Sunday, the Lions laid a shellacking, or I should say the Packers, laid a shellacking on the Bears. 38-20, score was not even that close. Jordan Love looked good, three touchdowns. So overreaction or proper action, Zach? The Packers will win the NFC North.
Da-da, da-da, da-da. Go, Pack, go! I love the Packers, but I'm not ready to say after 1 week that they're going to win the NFC North. They took care of an inferior football team in the Bears. Let's see what happens when they crank it up a little bit against a team that is actually a competent football team. So right now, I would say that's an overreaction. Packers, when you ask me, will they win the NFC North?
Best QB performance of week one has to go to Tua Tagovailoa. 466 passing yards was absolutely insane. An electric 36-34 win, including a last-minute touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill. He was incredible.
Ski!
And exactly right, in Miami's win over the Chargers on the road. Overreaction or proper reaction, Tua, at the end of the season, will be a top three MVP candidate.
Oh, yeah. I think there may be a spot on the Tuanon bandwagon. That's a kind of a tongue twister there. The Tuanon bandwagon. Did I say that correctly? For your boy. Because I said before the start of the season that the Dolphins are going to be winning the AFC East. And after last night, you got the Rodgers injury. I'm a Patriot fan, but the Patriots, I just don't think they have enough on offense to win the AFC East in the year 2023. And the Bills, whew, that was an ugly performance. As long as Tua stays healthy, he's going to have a monster season. That's a proper reaction.
And finally, Chris Jones is back now with the Chiefs. Yesterday agreed to a revamped, reworked, if you will, one-year contract. So did not get the big extension he was looking for. Instead, will return to Kansas City, playing on a one-year deal where he can earn a little bit more money in incentives than his original contract of about $21 million, but not exactly a lot more than that. So overreaction or proper reaction? The Chiefs didn't pay Chris Jones, Zach, because they're saving money to pay for a wide receiver.
Oh, that is an overreaction. I don't think they're trying to save money to go, like, big-time money for a wide receiver. They just won a Super Bowl without Tyreek Hill. As long as you have Travis Kelce there, they will be okay with number 15 throwing the football. Now, just real quickly, I know we got to get to Kyle Whittingham. I have an overreaction, a proper reaction question for you.
For me.
Just got a tweet from Ty on Twitter. He said, did Zach Gelb just ski? He's for the people. Now, the follow-up is, Hickey was probably like, WTF is this guy saying? Overreaction or proper reaction? You've heard the ski before.
Proper reaction, of course.
You watch Hard Knocks?
I did watch Hard Knocks.
Ski! All right, we'll take a break. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We will get to the head coach of the Utah Utes, back-to-back Pac-12 champs, Kyle Whittingham. Next!
Facts are facts. like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
The venue's set. Families coming in from all over. It's her quinceañera. With all the excitement, it may be easy to overlook COVID-19. It's still a risk, and that's why it's muy importante to get this season's COVID-19 shot ahead of time. It helps protect against COVID-19, which can cause severe illness and hospitalization. So let's set the date, vaccinate, and celebrate. Check eligibility and schedule this season's COVID-19 shot on the CDC site, vaccines.gov. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
We continue. It is The Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in one of my favorite programs in the country to talk about. Love what they've done the last few years, back-to-back Pac-12 championships. And that, of course, is the Utah Utes with their football program, 2-0 to start off the season, taking care of Florida, and then over the weekend, Baylor as well. Utah plays Weber State next up, and they are now ranked 12th in the AP poll. And now joining us is their head football coach. He's been the HC of Utah since 2005, and that is Kyle Whittingham. Coach, always appreciate the time. Thanks for it. How are you?
Good, Zach, and thank you for having me on.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. So we know how sensational of a player your quarterback Cam Rising is, recovering from the ACL tear, not be able to get on the field with you guys the last 2 weeks. To be 2-0 without Cam, just what does it say about the toughness of your football team?
Yeah, well, it's obviously what we were hoping for, but we had to have some guys step up. There's no doubt about that. Cam is our leader. He's the leader of the leaders. You know, as Cam goes, so goes our team. And so without him, we had to have several guys step up, starting with the backup quarterbacks. And we had a two-man system, 2-QB system for the first couple weeks. Now that's going to change this week, but Bryson Barnes and Nate Johnson both stepped up and did just enough to win. Defense played lights out for 2 weeks, kept us in the ball games, and allowed the offense to at least last week win it at the end. And great start. Like I said, it was two quality opponents and one on the road, and so proud of our guys.
You guys got off to a slow start offensively, only putting up 6 points. You discussed the both quarterbacks getting in. Nate goes on that long drive. You guys get a touchdown to tie up the game, and it took off 8 minutes on the clock. Just how did he change up the pace, and what did he display to you?
Yeah, he showed a lot of poise, a lot of confidence, did a great job executing. He was, 7 out of 8, I believe, throwing on that particular drive. It was a 15-play, 8-minute-plus drive, and we had to have it. I mean, it was, we hadn't scored on that drive. Game was essentially over, and so, our back was definitely going to be to the wall. And so it was great to see Nate execute and operate and make the decisions that he made and march right down the field. But the first credit's got to go to the defense. If we had not played outstanding defense the entire game and kept points off the board, we would have been in no position to still have a chance to win based on how we had played offensively to that point. So defense saved our bacon in that respect, but the offense came through and scored when we absolutely had to.
What did you say to your defense after the game, just wondering?
I gave them the game ball, first of all. I mean, they did a great job, and anytime you give up 13 points in this day and age of college football, you it's tough to lose when you do that. And so they did a phenomenal job, hanging in there, playing the full 60 minutes, and of course that huge turnover or takeaway that we got on the last drive that set up the final touchdown for our offense which was ultimately the game winner.
The head coach of the Utah Utes, Kyle Whittingham, here with us. When we get to this week, do you expect Cam Rising to play? What's the latest?
We sure hope so. It's been day to day for 2.5 weeks now, and so we're just waiting complete clearance from the medical people, and we're just waiting for that determination. And as soon as we get the clearance, he's good to go. He will be our guy. But until then, we'll just keep trying to win without him. But sure would be nice to get him back sooner rather than later.
He's an incredible player. You know, when you come back from an ACL, there's one thing where you're at physically. There's another thing mentally. What are your expectations from him with how much rust there could be to knock off early?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And one positive is he has been practicing without limitation. Now, I say without limitation, we're not hitting him. Of course, we would never hit him, regardless of his health. But he has been practicing and doing everything, evasive moves on the scout team and that type of thing. And so he's gaining confidence bit by bit. Probably not quite 100% of the way there yet. But as soon as he's a tough kid, he's chomping at the bit to play. And as soon as we get the clearance, then, if it happens this week, like I said, you'll see him in the game this week. And if not, then we'll just have to keep waiting until they give us the okay.
This may be a weird analogy, but like right now with how close he is, as you're explaining Kyle Whittingham, do you just kind of feel as if you're a kid the night before Christmas, just waiting for those presents to get called down to unwrap?
Pretty much. That is a good analogy. And although we know what the president is, it's our leader. But we're just anxiously anticipating and awaiting the thumbs up from the medical team.
I got to ask you about the end of the game. The no PI call has been talked about everywhere. When you look back at the tape, do you think you guys got away with one, or was that the right no call?
No, I believe absolutely that was the right no call. And both guys have a right to the football. And our guy went up simultaneously, and to me, that's a no-call 10 out of 10 times. But I realize that, that's probably not going to be 10 out of 10. There may be a couple, one, two, or three that does get flagged. But we had been called for several holding calls, and, I never complain about the refs because I'm a believer that ultimately everything evens out. But we certainly had our share of holding calls during the course of that game, and so it was nice to see a no-call on that last one.
So if you were on the other side, let's just say you're in Dave Aranda's shoes, you would have been fine with the no-call?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm a defensive guy, and secondary play is really what I focus on. And I would say that, it's a no-call situation. Now, first of all, we should have never been in that situation. We let them get behind us in a situation where there was like 13 seconds left in the game or 9 seconds. I can't remember exactly. And so that's our fault for putting ourselves in that situation. But nonetheless, I still believe firmly, and that, without bias, obviously it worked in our favor. But as you look at it objectively, I say it's a no-call.
Coach Kyle Whittingham here with us. Coach, you've been at this for a long time. I know each year presents a new challenge and a new lesson. Just through the first 2 weeks, what have you really learned being able to navigate all that you've been able to do to go up against two teams in Florida and Baylor and walk away with two victories?
Well, first of all, that our defense is pretty good. We got good personnel there, and we're playing without two of our best players, Kareni Reed, a linebacker, and Connor O'Toole, defensive end, that we hope to get back soon as well. We're kind of waiting on them, just like we're waiting on Cam. And then Samote Pepe, our number two D tackle, is a big force in the middle. So I think we get all our guys back, and if they keep playing with the tenacity and the discipline and the toughness they are, we got a chance to be really good. Great to see our left tackle spot on offense being solidified by a true freshman, Spencer Fano. And you know, I've been the head coach 19 years, and never have we started a true freshman. Wow. I don't believe anywhere on the offensive line, let alone the left tackle spot. And so to see him play the way he did against two quality P5 opponents really is solves a piece to the puzzle for our football team, and hopefully he'll continue to get better. You know, he still needs to improve like everybody else, but he is certainly off to a great start.
Coach, I remember last year when I was talking to you right before the start of the season, as a wrap it up with Coach Kyle Whittingham, Utah, 12th in the country, back-to-back Pac-12 champions. But I remember after you won the first one, you said, now we got to go do it again and show that we could be consistent. You did that. What was the message to your team then this offseason coming off two Pac-12 championships?
Well, the message is nobody has ever three-peated in the Pac-12. And so that is exactly the message. And it just becomes kind of a monster that you create and you just, the expectation is greater every single year, and it doesn't matter if you did win it the year before and last year, you just got to keep doing it. And so, and I've always been a huge believer that it's harder to stay on top than it is to get to the top. And so once you get to the top, you got to work twice as hard to stay there.
When you look at the conference, there is no tougher conference right now football-wise in college football. You guys have 8 teams this year in the top 25. We know everybody's leaving, including your school, and it's been a mass exodus. Do you all just sit there with how long you've been a part of this game? You know that everyone's following the money, but you go, there's 8 teams in the top 25 from the Pac-12, and the Pac-12's going away.
I know. There's a certain sadness to that, I guess you could say. I mean, the Pac-12 has been around so long and had such a prominent place in college football, and to see it just dissolve, I mean, it's almost surreal to see it happening, but mark my words, there's a lot more change that's going to happen, and a lot more shifting, and the landscape of college football is not done making its moves, and you're going to see super conferences in the not too distant future, and with that is going to come some pretty significant changes, and so get used to it, I guess what I'm saying, because nothing is settled. It's far from being settled right now.
Let me just ask you about 2 teams inside your conference before we let you run. You've been at this for a long time. Coach Prime now at Colorado. They're already in the top 25. You play them at the end of the season. Just from afar so far, what has been your reaction with what Deion and Shedeur Sanders has been able to do?
Well, I haven't had the chance to see him play, but certainly the results speak for themselves. Just tremendous turnaround. I mean, how can you have a bigger turnaround? It might be the biggest turnaround in college football history from one year to the next. And Coach Sanders obviously knows exactly what he's doing, and manipulating the portal. But probably manipulating is the wrong word. Utilizing the portal and maximizing the change in the rules. You never could have done this, back when there was initial scholarship limits and that type of thing. And so, but that doesn't matter. You can do it now, and he has taken full advantage of it. And good for him. And he has proven to really be an innovator of sorts.
And last thing I'll ask you, we all talk about quarterback play in this conference, whether it's your quarterback, you got Bo Nix, DJ Uiagalelei, Shedeur Sanders, and then also the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, Caleb Williams. You've been able to see him a few times. You being a great defensive mind, just what's the most challenging part going up against Caleb?
Wow, his ability to extend the play. I mean, that is maybe the toughest guy to sack that we've ever come across here in Utah. And that's a pretty bold statement, because we've played against a lot of good quarterbacks. But the guy is almost unsackable. He's so strong and has such a great pocket presence and feel for the rush and ability to maneuver and get out of jams. And that really is what sets him apart, is his ability to extend the play and then still find somebody downfield. His eyes never leave downfield. His eyes are completely locked downfield as he moves around and extends, and that enables him to find guys open all the time on those type of plays.
And another name I forgot about was Michael Penix Jr. It's like each and every week in this conference, it's an all-star quarterback. It's unbelievable, Coach.
It is. It is. It's crazy. And when I first got in the league, there was some pretty darn good quarterbacks. Marcus Mariota and some of the other guys were here. But this group here, as a group, surpass anything I've ever seen, and it is definitely the conference of quarterbacks, at least this year.
Coach, always enjoy watching your teams play and the things that you've done for this program. Always appreciate the time, and good luck this week.
Okay, Zach. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
There he is, Kyle Whittingham, the head coach of Utah Utes, with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. How about Jets defensive back Jordan Whitehead? He had a career night recording 3 interceptions of Josh Allen in New York's 22-16 overtime win against the Bills. Whitehead's contract had an incentive if he recorded at least 3 interceptions in the season. So on Monday night alone, he earned himself a $250,000 bonus. What a start to the season for him right there. All righty, we'll take a break here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Just a quick poll question update. The Jets starting quarterback for the rest of the season should be someone else or Zach Wilson. Robert Salas says it's going to be Zach Wilson. I agree with him. Someone else, though, winning the poll, 57.5% of the vote to only 42.5% for Zach Wilson.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, here to tell you about my new podcast, Search Engine. On Search Engine, we tackle the kinds of questions that keep you up at night. Like, why are drug dealers putting fentanyl in everything? Should we be worried that Elon Musk believes that we're living in a simulation? And, for the love of God, is it actually unsafe to drink the coffee on airplanes? On Search Engine, no question is too big and no question is too small. Listen and follow Search Engine with PJ Vogt and Odyssey Podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Introducing Carvana Value Tracker, where you can track your car's value over time and learn what's driving it. It might make you excited.
Whoa, didn't know my car was valued this high.
It might make you nervous.
Uh-oh, market's flooded. My car's value just dipped 2.3%.
It might make you optimistic.
Our low mileage is paying off. Our value's up.
And it might make you realistic.
Car prices haven't gone up in a couple weeks. Maybe it's time to sell.
But it will definitely make you an expert on your car's value. Carvana Value Tracker. Visit Carvana.com to start tracking your car's value today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
So I got to start things off with this is from the Michigan game over the weekend. This was in another Michigan victory. J.J. McCarthy had a 47-yard touchdown pass up against UNLV. Michigan 2-0. They win 35-7. But this is just a crazy moment on the broadcast. You got to listen up to the whole story. Here is Brad Nessler, courtesy of CBS.
J.J. McCarthy and Ryan Keeler were high school teammates. They've been playing ball together since they were 7 years old, to and from practice in the same car. He was his protection man as an offensive tackle, became a defensive end at UNLV, and the Keeler and McCarthy families were so looking forward to this game before the tragic passing of Ryan. They were going to spend the weekend together. I spent some time with J.J.'s dad, Jim, on Thursday night, and he said he'll be having number 47 with him. There it is. On his non-throwing hand, and he got a little bit choked up talking to us yesterday about losing his buddy. And pressure as he throws and completes it on the run. Roman Wilson down the sideline. Just like that, with 47 on one hand, he rifles it to his favorite target with the other, and a 47-yard touchdown. A 47-yard touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Think about it.
I saw Roman just, you know, get a little bit of separation and stepped up and just gave it to him. I didn't hear that the 47-yard touchdown until I just walked down this hallway, and I was just like, damn, that's not God. I don't know what is.
Kind of takes the breath away, doesn't it?
Wow. JJ might not know it now, but sometime he's going to see a stat sheet and see Ryan Keeler's number in his head and on his wrists and in the end zone to Roman Wilson.
That just sends, and I know it was long, but we wanted to play the whole thing for context. That just sends a chill up your spine. It's one of those moments in sports where you're talking about honoring someone that was very close to you and the number 47, and then boom, you hit a 47-yard touchdown. That's just, you can't even think something like that. It's just crazy. So
Hope everything continues to be okay, obviously, for McCarthy's family and his friend's family in the healing process. Obviously, you could never replace, you know, someone's life. But, man, what a special moment that was. Stock up. Kyle McCord is now the full-time starting quarterback at The Ohio State. Been the start of the last 2 weeks. First game, not so much. It was not great. Second game, bounced back in a big way. Now, when you pick up the intensity with the opponent, we'll see how he does fare. But a big difference from week one to week two, and had the connection go with Marvin Harrison Jr., so give him a stock up. Can't talk quarterbacks in college football without mentioning Shedeur Sanders. Another just sensational performance. And Shedeur Sanders is starting to work himself into a top 10 draft pick kind of conversation. And going into the year, is Caleb Williams 1, Drake May 2. I wonder where he's going to fall when the draft does come with the great start that he had through the first two games of the season. Give a stock up to Shedeur Sanders. Sam Hartman and Arjun Estime continue to be a lethal 1-2 punch at Notre Dame. Give them both a stock up. How about this story? You remember watching Hard Knocks and Xavier Gibson made the team. Well, we all know last night he had the game-winning punt return. So give Xavier Gibson a stock up. Jeff Sims, the Nebraska quarterback. Oy, oy, oy. What an ugly performance that was over the weekend up against Colorado. Give him a stock down. Going back to the stocks up. Tua Tagovailoa, Tyreek Hill. Sensational performance this past weekend. Tua was just unbelievable. Tyreek Hill goes for 215 yards receiving. Give Tua and Tyreek Hill a stock up. The Cleveland Browns, they own the Cincinnati Bengals. And they just dominated them on Sunday. Give the Browns, here we go, Brownies, here we go, a stock up. Puka Nacua and Tutu Atwell both go for over 100 yards. No Cooper Kupp in the game, no problem. Rams crush the Seahawks. Give Puka Nacua and also Tutu Atwell a stock up. How about Ryan Nielsen, the new defensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons? I know Jesse Bates had a tremendous debut with the forced fumble and the two interceptions, but let's give a little stock up to the new Falcons defensive coordinator. That's the best to see the Falcons defense play in quite some time. Calvin Ridley, thank you for getting the end zone. Plus 130 on the anytime touchdown. I know you can't bet on it, but I can, so give Calvin Ridley a stock up. Mario Cristobal needed a big win in year two. He got it over the weekend against A&M. Give Mario Cristobal a stock up. Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk, sensational performance on Sunday up against the Steelers. Give all three of them a stock up. I know Kyle Whittingham disagreed with me. I know it's always questionable at the end of games where you can basically mug people. They don't call pass interference, but that was definitely pass interference on the Utah Utes defender. I was shocked it was not called on Battle. I know it should not have come down to that, but I thought that was a bad job by the refs. Give them a stock down. Hickey, I know you're a big uniform guy. Did you see the Tennessee Volunteer uniforms this past weekend?
Unfortunately,
they were ugly.
They were.
As Randy Jackson would say, that's a no for me, dog. Stock down on the Tennessee uniforms. Hickey's favorite team, or second favorite team, the Denver Broncos. I don't know what was worse, the Broncos' performance or Hickey's nickname for Jimmy G, calling him, what'd you call him? Brittle Jimmy?
Brittle G. No, Brittle G.
Brittle G.
Jimmy G, Brittle G. Rolls right off the tongue.
Bad nickname, bad loss for the Broncos. Stock down. The Bears. The losers. Oh, what an awful performance of the Bears this weekend. The Packers smacked them. Stock down to the Chicago Bears. Josh Allen, what are you doing? Stop playing Superman and trying to be a superhero over and over and over again. Rodgers goes down, he's done for the season, and you can't beat the Jets. I get it, the Jets are a good team, but that is a horrible, and I mean horrible, loss by Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills. And it's the same old, when the Bills lose, Josh Allen turns over the football way too much. Stock down. The Jets. What a scene that was at MetLife Stadium before the game. Rodgers runs onto the field with the American flag. Highly anticipated season. The season where the Jets were going to turn things around with their franchise. And then Rodgers, 70-something seconds in, it's over.
out for the year with an Achilles injury. Just devastating. And if you're a Jet fan, you're just looking at the TV. I know you won the game, but you're saying same old Jets. Just so unfortunate. Sock down to the Aaron Rodgers first year as the Jets quarterback over really before it even started. And finally, Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo Fisher is the most overrated coach in college football. Jimbo Fisher gets paid so much money, and he's fortunate that his buyout is $75 million, because if it wasn't, he should have already been fired. It's time for Texas A&M to cut bait with Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo Fisher is really the John Gruden of college football. He's an overrated coach who's living off one championship. Jimbo Fisher had all this talent last year, couldn't win. This year, going up against Miami, you're a better team than Miami, and Miami punched you in the mouth. Jimbo Fisher stinks. You got to pay him the money, hold your nose when you do so, and say, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Stock down to Jimbo Fisher. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to Hot Take Kiki for producing this extravaganza. Also like to thank Kyle Whittingham for joining us, in addition to Eric Coleman and the Pro Football Hall of Famer in Steve Largent. We'll be back tomorrow. It's already Wednesday? Can't believe that. Time really does fly when you're having fun, and also when there's football season. Got a few more shows this week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, then also the 8-hour marathon Eye on Football on Sunday. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. We out. Bye-bye.
Peace.